When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And I'm really excited because we have some amazing guests on the show today. We're kind of getting back to our roots, and we're going to be talking about paying off debt, because in a crazy time like this, like, that is vital, that is crucial. And while we like going, you know, talking about next level financial literacy, but this is like one of the most important things.
Yes, definitely the foundation. Like, for sure. It's the cornerstone to building wealth for a lot of us.
Yes. So we are happy to have William and Janelle on the show. Welcome to the show. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. Glad to be here with y'all.
Absolutely. We really appreciate you being on. I found you all on social media, like many of us do, but I was so excited to see your story and see that you guys paid off, I believe it was $137,800. Got to get that 800 in there.
Yeah.
So we want to definitely pick your brain on exactly how that journey was for you.
Right. But before we dive in, maybe if we can take a moment. If you could just introduce yourself to our listeners, just you can tell them your name, where you're from, and then we'll hop in to the story.
Yeah, so I'm Janelle, and we live in San Diego, so definitely not the cheapest place to live to do what we did. But I am a social worker. I work in a hospital right now, in a hospital for like women and newborns, and. Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, and William, you know, same. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I got my own private practice here in San Diego, specializing in working with, you know, men, couples, but originally from the Bay, you know, so out of San Francisco. And like she said, California ain't cheap, but, you know, living this dream because I ain't going nowhere else.
I heard that.
Yeah, and that is one of the reasons why we were excited to talk to you both.
Yeah.
We haven't had many guests who are debt-free from California. You know, California has...
It's different, right?
It does. I mean, it's one of the highest, you know, cost of living, you know, in the country. So it's definitely amazing to see what you two have done, especially considering the cost of living here.
Yeah.
Now, William and Janelle, can you tell us... now, we know you all have been married for 5 years, correct?
4 years.
4 years.
Made 4 years in July.
Oh, that's amazing. So now, what was, going back to the dating era, what were your conversations about finance? Or did you even broach the topic? Like, take us back to like when you guys kind of first got together.
Yeah. So when we first met, he was in grad school and he was just graduating grad school and I was about to start grad school. And I think we both kind of had our own financial journeys at that point. We both had a good amount of student loan debt that we had taken on or were about to take on at that point. And we hadn't talked about it too much. I think I had a pretty good grip on my finances. I feel like I've always been responsible with money, tried not to run up credit cards. So I had my way of doing things. I definitely have a lot of structure to my finances, but we didn't talk too much about like what that outlook would look like for us.
Yeah. And I, you know, the little slight digs is that I didn't have a lot of structure. I had a lot of philosophy around it, but not a lot of structure and practice, because like when I committed to going to grad school, like I was sitting down, I wasn't working. Like I was fully bought into that self-development and growing and, you know, future oriented. And so when I came out, it was tough times, man. I was riding a bike, finishing grad school. It was hard times out here, but, you know, the vision was very clear and how we were going to go from there by making those early investments. and then just making it happen, putting the footwork in after that.
Yeah.
Right. So while you two were dating, did you ever talk about how you might intermingle your finances? Did you ever talk about like debt, or did you have those conversations, or was that later on?
I think I kind of blindsided her at the point of, well, we always talked about like goals and future oriented things, but we never talked about like blending our money until like leading up to marriage, like leading up to our wedding. And then, so I think we really got started in September. So we got married in July of 2017. And I immediately was talking, because I was already on my debt-free pursuit, because I wanted to get out from up under the weight of my undergrad, my grad school debt. I was a collegiate athlete, didn't carry undergrad debt. So grad school hit me and I was like, oh no, I don't know what this is about. Right. And then we had the conversations in July and August, and then we blended in September of 2017. And then that's when, you know, our debt-free journey really kicked off.
Yeah, that's great. So one of the things that Marcus and I like to say is that I came into the marriage with debt. He came into the marriage with debt, and together we went into even more debt. Mm. So looking at the debt that you two paid off, what did your debt consist of?
Yeah. So I had both undergrad and grad school student loan debt. We both had cars that we were financing at the time. Also with my debt from undergrad, I had some private loans too, which I was not proud of. And definitely like made it a little bit harder, I would say, those variable loans. We also had some credit card debt, that wasn't the bulk, and that we got through that pretty quickly, but we did have some credit card debt to start as well. Did I miss anything? I think that was most of it.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about that first conversation. So now you're married and you both come into the marriage with debt. Like how did you all begin to like approach the topic of like paying off debt? Like how did that happen?
Yeah.
I was not interested in finances. I had a lot of like spreadsheets and structure. Like I knew how I did my budgeting. It was really hard for me at first to even just think about combining finances. This was before we even started really tackling our debt, but just to like get our finances together was rough for me at first. And not that I didn't trust him with my money. I think we had a foundation of trust and everything. It was just that I was really set and I knew how I spent my money. And so it was hard for me to think of letting someone else in on that process.
Yeah. And so I had a approach already. So I had like debt payment calculators and printouts and calendars and like what payments had to be, you know, made per month and when date I'd be out of debt. And then so I just started, I'm the type that I can do math in my head and she needs to see the work. And so like I had to get on board with those spreadsheets and type things and then like give her enough insight so she would feel comfortable in like what the plan was going forward. And so finding all these different things like undebted and different type calculators so she can see it and she can play with it and really feel comfortable to her own.
Yeah. Yeah. And we, you know, we talk about that similar to our situation. It's like, I can see it in my mind, you know, and Shire needs to see it tangibly, you know, for it to make, you know, make her feel more comfortable, you know? So I think that's really cool how you did that. Now, William, I'm going to kind of ask you to put on your marriage and family therapist hat here.
Yeah.
So we get this question a lot. When one spouse wants to do something and another doesn't, and they just can't seem to make that work. Like, you know, one spouse wants to pay off debt and the other is like comfortable.
Right.
You know, with how it's, what do you think, how should they manage that? What is the best way? Is it cool to bring a third party in sometimes, you know, and get a therapist?
Definitely. I mean, finances are one of the, you know, primary reasons for divorce, you know, whether people keeping stuff secret, or, you know, dissension in the relationship. And so, patience, leading with patience, leading with understanding, like Janelle spoke to, trying to understand each other's money mindsets, and understanding like, yo, we in this for life. Like we just got married. Like I'm not pressed about it. And so preserving, like the one thing is that we preserve our attachment, the relationship between us above all else. Yeah. And so like not losing that because of any dollars, any plans. And so, but I'm very black and white. Janelle will say that. She will attest to that. And I had to operate in the gray. So like, I was very clear about like my style, how I wanted to go about it, like taking on high interest loans first and like where she needed to feel good and see some zeros. I was like, I don't care. Like maximizing this. Right, and so there were tough moments in that, but there's a lot of patience, right? And a lot of hard conversations and a lot of people like don't lean into. And so it's like, don't avoid, like get to understand what your styles are and know when you need to pursue your partner, know when you need to fall back, know what your language is like and how to bring awareness to when, you know, like you're not feeling loved in the ways in which, you know, somebody's communicating something to you. Explain why this is really important to me and how, you know, this is love, not no like manipulation ways, but like really like why this is tied to how I feel cared for.
Wow. Man, that's knowledge, man.
Exactly. And good I stuff. Like how you said preserve the relationship, because I think that debt and like finances, as you said, it's huge. It's a huge part of a relationship and it can take a toll when folks don't see eye to eye, but we need to preserve the relationship. So I like how you brought that out, because that's so important, especially in our community.
Now you all kind of touched on strategy there, William, but can you all get into, you know, what was your main strategy or some of your strategies to paying off your debt?
I feel like we had a few. Janelle was real clever in coming up with different ideas. Go ahead.
I mean, I think where we started was kind of what he was talking about. He really wanted to pay off the highest interest rate loans, kind of coming from a, I think we call it the avalanche method, I think it's called. But yeah, so starting with the higher interest rate loans to kind of in the long term, bring down the amount that we're paying in interest, which I think is overall the strategy that we took. But there were times where, I really appreciate him being flexible with me, because I could see that it was like a small loan. It's like, we can do this month. Like, just let me do it. And we would do that sometimes. Like, if I wanted to just pay off the, like a small loan, he was fine with it. But we also at different times kind of had to change our approach. Like at the beginning of 2020, this is actually pre-pandemic even, Will lost his job. And so our bigger picture kind of became at that point, we need to lower our payments as much as we possibly can. So at that point, we were looking at which loans are kind of the highest amounts that we're doing, that we're paying right now. Which at that point it was our cars. And so we very quickly and within a couple of months were able to pay off our cars with savings and things like that. And then that kind of put us in a better financial place being on one income at that time. So I think it had to evolve over time with kind of where, what our circumstances were in the moment. But our general theory was trying to like on the back end, like save as much interest as we could to get us to that end point sooner.
Right. That's great. And so as you were going through like the debt payoff process, of course, life happened. Mm-hmm. And so what kept you motivated beyond, you know, getting a monthly bill, you know, from the student loans, you know, and the car payment folks, you know, what kept you going? What kept you motivated? And how did paying off debt fit into your long-term vision as a couple?
I think like she brought up, so like I always had my private practice and want to be clear, like this wasn't a side hustle, it was more like a passion project, and that like I got to work with who I wanted to work with. And then I had an agency job, and then we sat and prayed after I lost that job, and God was like, nah, this is where you need to be at. You know that. And so leaned into it. But a part of that is the first thing I did when I got home was look at our budget. Right. Because we'd had our numbers, we put it all in monthly. And so ultimately the security and safety, like, or the comfort of knowing our finances, knowing what's going in, knowing what's coming in. And then before I even had to, you know, break the news to her, I already saw like how we could do it on one income. And so just the comfort we had from that with what we had in reserves. And then I think for me, it was always like, I'm not trying to go, when I was working in an agency, I'm not trying to go to nobody trying to get another raise. It was like, this is an immediate raise once we get these monthly payments off our back.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I also think something that kept us going through it though was flexibility. Like we did not, I know some people say like go gazelle intense, where we were just like zero base budget every single month, like everything extra goes to debt. We did that a lot, but also like we made like weddings and trips and graduations and different things that we wanted to do with seeing family. We made that a priority for us because I know for me particularly, I know Will said he can be very black and white, and if that's the direction he's going, like he can go all for it. But I know for me, I needed a balance between like the things we wanted and our goals, like this goal too. Yeah. But the life things that came up along the way. And I think just keep maintaining that balance throughout it really helped me to remain motivated throughout it.
Yeah. And as far as, you know, just making it in California, like it was going to be a huge thing being in the helping profession, being service oriented. Like Janelle's a social worker. I'm a marriage and family therapist. It's not a big bank field unless you're getting into the private sector, you're doing the private speaking, you're doing the consultations and all of that. And so when I was initially working in a nonprofit working in juvenile corrections, and you know, there's a cap on that. And so one of the ways that we could gain control of our money was by getting out of debt and, you know, not having to be beholden to a large salary.
Right.
Because, you know, and we, all that money's coming into us and we get to direct where it goes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think with our long-term goals, like we want to be able to stay in San Diego and we want to live where we love. And we also want to do what we love. You know, we want to be able to take jobs that maybe aren't the highest paying, but like fulfill us and really give us a sense of purpose. And a big piece of that was needing to pay off our debt to be able to maintain that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I, you know, so many things come to mind when you guys, you know, speak, but the main thing that popped in my head is like living in this state, right? So being able to, because we see so many, we see like the mass exodus and people like being forced to go move to, you know, like I seen a meme that says that, you know, we, a lot of people in California moving to Texas and Georgia. And it's like, no, I'm not doing that. You know, I'm gonna make it happen here. I'm gonna enjoy this weather. Right? And I know it's lovely down there in San Diego. So I think that's really great.
We talk about that a lot. We've known folks that have left the state and some have returned. Mm-hmm. But I mean, have you seen that in your area? Are people moving or not so much where you're at?
Yeah. We've lost some, I shouldn't say we lost, but so we've had some close friends move out for their own reasons. And you know, justifiably, like practically I can see that. I can understand that. Yeah, right. Yeah. But for the things that we value and that we desire for ourselves, it's like, nah, we're going to make it work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, we've made a visit to the South and I like it in other parts of the country. I like to go and I like to eat. And I sometimes you don't get that Southern food how you want it right where I'm at.
Right.
You know,
right.
But, you know, but I think that we might be lifers in California too. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see these fires clear up. But anyway, but another thing that you all brought out is that you made time to still participate in things that you enjoy. And I think a lot of people think that when you're paying off debt that you have to suffer, like you're going to suffer through it. Yes, granted, you will make sacrifices, but it doesn't mean that that your lifestyle has to just go down the drain, you know? So it's great that you all were able to kind of find that balance as you were going through your debt payoff journey.
So I think about, go ahead. Sorry.
Mark. No, go ahead, Will.
I think about the ways in which like we started to find money by being real intentional and real critical. Janelle, like, so we're real intense, right? Janelle inserts every expense, every transaction in our spreadsheets, right? And then she's got this whole category system where it's like you see the variance and like what the projected income was and what the outgoing, what the actuality of that is. And so you start to see like, all right, where can we pull back at? Where can we gain more money? And so further growing more control of our finances in that sense and realizing like, oh, okay, we can give money to the things that we truly value. Like, and see where this excess is just going away. And we're like, oh, I don't know that I would have wanted to if I would consciously have looked at it like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love, you know, going to Starbucks, you know, but when we were paying off a debt, you know, you take a snapshot of what you're actually spending money on. And this is like, I don't really feel right about spending it on this or that. And those things don't become enlightened if you don't ever look at it, you know? And I think that that's key. And I think that's really cool that you guys put everything in a spreadsheet and it's before you, because you can make better decisions when you're able to see things more clear. So I think that's great.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are hesitant to make a budget. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a friend who says a budget is like your money on a diet. So, I mean, for us, we did kind of like allowance, like, look, this is the money that you have for the week. Mm-hmm. And if you can spend on whatever you want, but try not to go beyond this. So like, what strategies do you all use to kind of stay within your budget, or what are tips that have, or things that have worked for you all?
You want to break down the different accounts and buckets?
Yeah. So I think one thing that we did is we had allowance as well. We have an allowance that we can spend freely, which again, I think that kind of speaks to that balance that we had, that like we did have some money that we didn't necessarily have to account for as closely. We could spend it how we wanted. But I think another thing that helped us a lot was just being able to save in advance for things. So we didn't have a lot of things that were like popping up on us that we weren't expecting. So like having a lot of sinking funds. So whether that's for vacations that we had coming up or expenses that we don't have every month, like for our car registration or our like licensing fees for both of our fields, or different things that like we know are coming, but we're not having to like last minute budget for these things because we forgot about them this month or something. We look at, I think like planning out our finances in advance is something that helped us a lot. So we know what to expect. And that doesn't mean that emergencies don't come up. We also have a fund for that. Like we have, like, we know where we can pull that money from if something comes up at the last minute that we have to draw from.
Right. And we definitely had those experiences throughout our journey, right? Where there was a point in time where Janelle was flying home every 6 weeks. Just to be with family at a time. And, you know, we were quickly able to look at the budget and see, all right, how can we make that happen? You know, fortunately, Southwest, you know, it's only, you know, you get them anytime.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, different things like that. But because we had a grasp of when these things came up, we knew our money, right? And like a lot of people know how much they make, and generally the money's spent before it hits. Mm-hmm. And so, regaining control of like, all right, directing our money where we want it to go.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
And so, after you paid off your debt, can you talk to us a little bit about how that has, impacted your life and your relationship?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing that it's done for us is give us a sense of like, we can like do what we want, like, you know, like we can, and that we can achieve like goals that felt really unattainable for us at the time. I think it's really empowered us with our finances to achieve even bigger goals in the future. And so I think it's really just been a huge mindset shift for us overall. And I think it's only been a few months now, really, and we haven't changed much. Like, I mean, we did allow ourselves to like do a little extra spending, especially on food. We're definitely foodies down here. San Diego food like is amazing. And so we like allowed ourselves to be relaxed for a little bit, but we're kind of back to really our goals and our budgets and spreadsheets that we've had, and working toward new goals, really saving at this point. And like investing in our retirement to a larger extent and things. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really just like pushed us to dream a little bit bigger for ourselves, which I think is cool. And I think it just like is helping us look at like start to reframe what our long-term goals are for us and get excited about what the future holds for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that, I think that's amazing. And I was curious, you know, what are your what's next for you all, you know, if you don't mind giving a little insight into, you know, future goals and things like that?
Yeah, we're currently working on our emergency savings, so getting, you know, 6 months of emergency savings stacked up, and then from there, like, eventually trying to get into this housing market. Like, we rent, unfortunately, you know, it's at a price that works for us and allows us to continue doing those things. And I guess that's one of the strategies that I also missed, was like choosing where we chose to live. It's in a desirable market, but it's not the most modern place, right? Like, I ain't trying to stump for nobody. Like, right. This is where we sleep, this is where we live, and this is how we choose to make home, and it's comfortable. But it's also like, we're not shelling away like half our income just to rent.
Right.
Because like, we know this ain't the end goal. Like, we want to own something, we want to have our own spot. And so getting back on plan with that as well, and looking at how to break into this market, because that is something that we want. So emergency savings, home savings, and as well as like vacations, man. We've been stuck in California for too long.
Right. I know the feeling, man. Man, this is wonderful. This has like been a great sit down, Shai.
Yeah. So, a word of advice. So anything that you can share for folks who are on this journey. I know we hear from folks that tell us, you know, we listen to you as we go through our journey. And so as they listen to us, they're also hearing from you. So is there like a tip or a takeaway or word of encouragement that you can share to someone that is in the journey, in the midst of it, or considering starting a debt-free journey?
Yeah.
I think one piece of advice I would have is not coming from this from like a scarcity mindset of what you're going to lose or what you won't have as a result of pursuing like paying off debt, but like looking at it as what you're going to gain and how you'll grow from it. Because I think it's a lot more than just like what you have to pay toward debt every month. It's really about the skills and the control you're going to gain over your money as a result of it. And so I think it's really looking at it from like how you're going to grow just, I think, as a person and like financially as a result of the journey.
And the first line on my tattoo says, give what you want now for what you want most. Right. And so that's thinking with the end in mind and ultimately what you want, what it looks like to get there, and keeping that at the forefront. So keep it as simple as that. Give what you want now for what you want most. And being reminded of that, you know, putting up, you know, post-its or whatnot. Like I was big on affirmations and writing on mirrors and, you know, keeping the goal in front of me. Because it gets hard at times where it's just like, you see people taking vacations, you wonder how, and it's like, I know how people doing it. Like,
yeah.
We're paying a vacation every month toward debt. Like we could have done it, but that's not where we chose to put our money.
Right. And you know, like keeping your lifestyle low for the time being, knowing that this is an investment in your future. And we don't live in FOMO. Like I'm big on delayed gratification. And so like, I'm gonna touch that, you know, if God's put it on my heart, he's put it on my vision. Like, are we gonna get that? And so like she said, not, you know, operate from a scarcity mindset.
Right. That's so important to have that mindset shift that it's not for someone else, but it's for me. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that is really powerful. And then also the affirmations, like we use those as well. Mm-hmm. We had a little, I'm about to call it a ghetto board, but anyway, we had a board up where we would write these things that just seemed, these goals that just seem so big. But when your mind sees it, you start to figure out a way to make it happen, and it becomes big. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait, I can do this. Mm-hmm. It becomes smaller and smaller. And next thing you know, you've actually done it. So it's really important to speak positively over your life, to have those goals, to use your words to empower yourself, to encourage yourself, to encourage your spouse. And so I think there's been a lot of good nuggets and good takeaways from our conversation today. I'm really excited that we had the opportunity to connect with y'all. And if we're ever in San Diego.
Yeah, we definitely would love to connect.
Yes. If you're ever in Northern California, you know, hit us up, you know, because we know a couple of good food spots. Right. You know, I'm not sure if it's, you know, San Diego level, but we got to, you know, we got a couple of eateries.
Oh, yeah. Nah, we'll definitely catch you in.
Definitely.
Cool. Yeah. So how can people connect with you?
So I am on Instagram. Mine, it's Janelli123 is my name. And for you?
Back squats and burritos. BACKSQUATSN burritos. BURRITOS. We'd love to touch base with y'all. That's not my professional site, so. That's right.
Cool, yeah.
Giving my therapy space, like, nah, we only talking business over there.
Right. Man, well, we really appreciate it, William and Janelle. Thank you so much for being on the show. And we thank you all for checking out this episode of the Black Married and Debt-Free Podcast. Till next time, this is Marcus with my lovely wife,
Shira, and we'll see you on the next one.
Peace.